Broadcasting live from the Wake Forest Business Radio X studios in North Carolina, it's time for Carolina Connections, the radio show where business leaders connect.
And good morning. This is Cal Hackman, your host for Metro Raleigh Business Radio X's Carolina Connections. Welcome to Reed Powell, our producer. How are you doing, Reed?
I am doing great. How are you, Cal?
Good. We have a great show here today on Carolina Connections where we talk about interesting business leaders in Raleigh, Cary, Durham, Wake Forest, and surrounding areas. So let's go ahead and meet our three guests for today's show. First, we have Jeff Kilman, Managing Director of Three Ships Media. Jeff is an ambitious and results-oriented executive with core competencies in bringing revenue-generating and profitable ideas to the table. That's quite a promise there. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. It's nice to meet you. Thank you.
Next, we have Ryan Nimitz. Ryan is a CPA and a partner at Mitchell & Nimitz CPAs for 14 years. Welcome, Ryan.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
And we're happy to welcome Raiden Stansel, a certified financial planner at Diversified Estate Services and an author of a couple of books on taking control of your retirement. Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Well, let's get started learning about these three business leaders and the businesses that they have. So, Raiden, we're going to start with you. Why don't you just start by telling us about Diversified Estate Services and help us understand what types of services you provide your clients?
Well, we are a firm that focuses on working with individuals that are close to or in retirement. To define that a little bit, pretty much individuals that are within about 10 years of retirement or already in retirement. So everything we've done in our practice has been around making that part of life easier. So what we've done is we've gone out and we've identified other professionals that would need, the individuals would need to work with as well, and we've partnered with them. We didn't hire them and bring them on staff. We just partnered with them. So, for example, we've partnered with CPAs, estate planning attorneys, life insurance specialists, liability insurance, anything that you might need as you transition from that phase of life of working and saving to the taking money out and living throughout retirement. So we've built an entire program around that to be attractive to that group of individuals.
Wow. Sounds like a great business. So what are some of the biggest concerns that people have when they're getting ready to retire?
Well, the number one concern is not running out of money. In fact, that fear is actually a bigger fear than dying, because people would, if they say, well, if I run out of money, then what good is it? I mean, it's a very fearful thing to have. So what they're concerned about today is losing their money due to a declining stock market or economic conditions. And we have a lot of different things out there right now that can concern people, whether it be geopolitical issues or economic issues right here in the United States. So what we're trying to do right now is just work through the emotion of, okay, we've come off this 2008 big tumble of a stock market. It's come back. Now what's going to happen? And that's the biggest question we got right now.
And I'm sure that's something that a lot of people are concerned about.
It's every day we hear that same concern.
I'm sure that the other guests in the studio are concerned about it, and they may or may not be within 10 years of retiring. But I would think that's a big one. So what should someone actually do before they come to see you or come to see a financial advisor?
Well, I think that a person needs to really kind of identify a couple things. Number one, when is it they would like to retire? And then look at I don't like calling it a budget, but kind of look at what their spending habits are. Mm-hmm. And the reason why they need to do that is because when they actually meet with a financial advisor, that's going to be number one question. How much money do you spend? And it doesn't matter. We're not talking about cutting back. We're just saying, this is what I spend every month. And then that way you're able to start to plan that out. Because one of the things I think people forget is that when you are planning for retirement, if you retire at, say, 65, you've got a good shot of a 25-year to 30-year retirement plan. So you've got to build in inflation. We got to build in the growth of money. So, but we have to start with what you're spending today. And then the other thing is how much risk you are open to take. Think about that. Am I really open to wanting to have a big loss. And I like to put it to numbers. So if a person has an account, instead of saying I'm okay with losing 20% or 30%, equate that to dollars. Because if you, let's just say you had $500,000 in your 401k and you lose 20%, are you okay losing $100,000? Mm. And if you put it to dollars versus percentages, it helps you get a little bit more of sense of that.
Yes, I agree with that completely, by the way. I think lots of people talk about percentages, and the last time I checked, you can't spend percentages at the grocery store.
That's
so
right.
It's I think that's a great approach. So there are a number of firms that represent themselves as being financial planners and financial advisors. Tell us a little bit about what makes you different from those other firms.
Well, I think there's two core elements to it. Number one is what I mentioned earlier, which is the fact that we have gone and put everything in place so a person doesn't have to go to multiple locations. Number one complaint we had, well, number one or number two, was that they felt like they would go see a CPA, and then the CPA would recommend or refer them to either a financial advisor or estate planner, and then the estate planner refers them either to a CPA or a financial advisor, and none of those advisors are talking to each other. So I think what they like is that we kind of, if we consider ourselves a quarterback, so we're quarterbacking that whole relationship, and what we do is we take the lead, and we bring in a CPA if we need a CPA, we bring in an estate planning attorney if we need an estate planning attorney, and then we meet together, either via the phone or face-to-face, and we put all that together so they don't have to worry about, are those advisors talking? And then the number two thing that I think we're the largest difference is how we manage money. Most people think about investing in the stock market, and they do it through diversification. And go back to my percentage story, that says if I diversify, I won't take as much of a fall in the market if the market falls, say the stock market. So go back to those percentages. If you go back to 2008, from the top to the bottom, the stock market fell 58%. So if you had a good diversified portfolio, maybe you only fell 30%. All right. Now, the question is, are you happy with that? Because, I mean, if an advisor said, hey, guess what, guys? I did a great job. You only lost 30. The stock market lost 58. Are you happy with that? All right. So now what we do is different is we actively manage money with protection on that portfolio. So we're actually employing stop losses on everything we buy to prevent major pullbacks in the market. So in that same pullback, our clients didn't experience but maybe around a 3%. Drop in that same time frame simply because we employed protection on the portfolio. So what we are is very, very good risk managers.
Big difference between 58%, 30%, and 3%. Huh?
Correct.
I suspect you had a lot of very happy clients then.
Absolutely.
You know, not as happy as if you had made 3% for them, of course, but certainly a lot happier than the folks who are walking around saying, oh my goodness, my 401k just went down by 58%, right?
That's right.
So, Ryan, does this idea of working together as a team, does this kind of resonate with you? Is that the way you work with your clients when they're doing things like this?
I think it's very important. I mean, we do, a lot of times we'll look at as being a CPA, you know, we'll kind of search out what the clients need in a retirement plan, succession planning, estate planning, those kinds of things, and then look at bringing in a financial advisor or an attorney or, you know, a financial planner or whatever to help in that aspect. So I do like the idea of having somebody that's quarterbacking those relationships and kind of tying them all together, because I think it is important that everybody's on the same page. And the CPAs and the attorneys and the financial planners, they're all looking at what's best and what are the goals that this client has and how can we best put that client or that person or that individual or whoever it may be in the best possible position to meet their goals at retirement and to make sure that they do have the funds needed, you know, to help them from full retirement age until, you know, whatever time that needs to be. So I do think it is important.
Well, that's good. That's great. So we have like-minded folks here. Braden, let's talk a little bit about who is your ideal client.
Well, first of all, because of the way we do not manage money differently for different people. We do what we do. And so if a person came in, I mean, which we every now and then will have somebody call us up and they say, hey, I really am interested in doing IPOs, or I want to own individual stocks, yeah. or can we go out and buy real estate, like actual real estate properties here in the area. And that's just not what we do. So ideally what we want, and it's going to be the most attractive to us, is a person who says, look, this is what I want. I want to make a decent rate of return, but wealth preservation is my number one goal. Mm-hmm. I don't want to lose a bunch of money. So if a person feels that way, they're going to be extremely attracted to our firm. And by the way, we're going to get along really, really well. So our ideal client is someone who typically says, hey, look, I want to have my money last. I've worked hard to save it, but I just don't want to lose it.
Excellent. And I mean, I would suspect there are a good number of those sorts of people around.
We find quite a few of them.
Quite a few of them. So, well, what? So let's talk about finding those people. How do you get new clients? What challenges do you typically have trying to find new clients, bringing them into your business?
Well, today, because of a lot of things we've done in the past, it's a lot easier. So there's a few different aspects of what we do. We have our client base that refers other clients to us, so that's a big issue. We do a lot of things to make sure our clients have the ability to refer to us in a non-threatening manner. So for example, so we do some events throughout the year. One of the things that I try to do is every quarter we do some wine tastings where we invite our clients in. And in that process, they're able to bring other people with them to that event. It's low key. I don't talk about money. I don't talk about our business. It's just a chance for them to get to know us individually. My wife always comes to that event, so they get to meet that. Other staff comes to that event. We also do a trivia night once a quarter, and at that event, again, it's very social. My whole family comes to that with my two children. Mm. My staff brings their family. So again, they're able to meet all of us and kind of go, do I even like these people? And if they do, then they could come and talk to us about business. In addition, as you mentioned, I've written two books. Mm-hmm. Both of those books are on Amazon. That's a great tool because, again, it's a way for a client or somebody else to say, I want to know how this person or this firm thinks. Because that book, by the way, is everything that I'm talking about right now. It explains it in detail. So they can get that book, read it. And most people, by the time they come in to see me, say, I know how you think, I know what you're about, and I like it. So the book is big. We've done, obviously, the website. And I do some teaching events as well, too, seminars, those kind of things.
And how about referral sources from other folks like estate planning attorneys or CPAs like Ryan? Yep. Or others? What kind of a role do they play in terms of bringing clients to you?
Yeah, that's a role that we've been working on more aggressively, I guess you might say, in the last couple of years in building those relationships. We do not try to make that relationship about the referral so much. We try to make it about assisting the client. Mm-hmm. But that particular resource has become bigger and bigger as CPAs and estate planning attorneys and, like I said, life insurance specialists who don't do what we do, or other people in other businesses learn what we do, and it becomes very defined. Now all of a sudden they're going, oh, okay. Because, for example, we had an estate planning attorney. Somebody came in and said, look, I want somebody who actively manages my money and protects us to the downside. They kind of came in with that terminology. Well, I was the first person that came to his mind because it was so clear and defined. So we're growing that and trying to do more things to help that be an easier process with the CPAs, estate planning attorneys, and other professionals.
Do you find this concept of protecting the downside, is this really catching on in the marketplace these days? Or, I mean, the stock market's actually doing pretty well these days, and maybe a lot of people aren't thinking about the downsize, but what do you see going on in the market?
Well, it's funny. In 2008, that's where all of my practice changed quite a bit, and we became psychologists, psychiatrists, doctors, all kinds of things, because people were coming in, and we really had folks coming in there that were not clients, but that were looking for something. And I just remember, because if you remember back, the Dow Jones had hit 14,000, and people were coming in, and we said, what's your uncle point? At what point would you like to call it? And they said, well, I could never imagine it going below 12. Mm. Then they said, no way will it go below 10. Never will it go below 8. And then we know we went all the way down into the 6s. Mm. So the emotional roller coaster there was by the time they got to the bottom, people were really depressed. I had people coming in saying they were going to leave the country. Yeah. They were no longer live here. I had a client, not clients, but people who were talking about buying property, ammo. I mean, that was kind of the, the mentality. Well, I always liken risk to a car wreck. So what do people do right after they wreck their car? Both hands on the steering wheel, no cell phone, they don't do anything without every precaution they can do. And then what are they doing a month later? One hand, and about a year later, what are they doing? They got a cell phone, mm-hmm. then they're doing their hair, makeup, driving with their knee about 2 years down the road. Well, that's right. Where we are right now. We're 5 years after that fall, and people now are saying, hey, let's go all in. Who cares? Everything looks fine. And the reality is that's not the case. Usually when that occurs, the downturn's coming.
Well, I think you offer a very valuable service to folks. I can personally actually relate to what you do and to the approach that you take. And I am one of those guys, by the way, who wants to protect the downside and is willing to sacrifice maybe a little bit of the upside to make sure that the downside is protected. So if someone wants to get in touch with you and talk to you about protecting their or managing their investment portfolio and getting ready for retirement, how do they do that?
Well, they could call the office. That phone number is 919-787-8866. Or they could go to our website, which is retirementplanningnc.com, and visit that as well. If they want to get the information, that, by the way, on that website are a couple of things that they can actually click or download, and there's no obligation for them to kind of learn a little bit more information about us.
Or they could buy your book, right?
That's right. Yeah.
All right. Well, Raiden, I'll be back to you in a little bit.
All right.
I'm going to take a little bit of time and go chat with Ryan down here at the end of the table. Ryan, you, I think you live and work here in Wake Forest. Is that close?
Well, I actually live in Youngsville.
Youngsville, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. And then our office is in Wake Forest.
We wouldn't want to infringe on the town of Youngsville.
Yes. Exactly. Great town to live in.
It is.
And we really enjoy it there. But Wake Forest is a great city, great town to be into.
So tell us what you and your partners do at Mitchell & Nimitz.
Well, we are a full-service CPA firm. The two partners are Howard Mitchell, which is our senior partner, and then myself. Howard's been CPA for over 30 years, been in Wake Forest for well over 20 years. I've been a CPA for quite some time now, probably about 17, 18 years now. We do everything from taxes, individual, corporate, we do estate taxes, we do partnerships, we do bookkeeping, payroll, we do some audits, compiled, reviewed, audited financial statements. We do accounting software consultation where we'll do setup, and then also assisting clients throughout the year with their needs from an accounting software standpoint. And just a variety of managerial consulting. One thing that we're starting to get into is a little bit more of a business coaching type service, and so we're kind of moving into that where we're really trying to look at from a client's business standpoint and how we can help them be more effective, more profit-oriented in their business, which then also transcends into their personal and individual standpoint too. And then also offering more turnkey type services where we may do the bookkeeping, the payroll, all the consulting, the tax planning, all of those aspects for a particular client to try to make it to where they're all, in one place.
Sounds like a lot to explore. So how many folks do you have at Mitchell & Nimitz these days?
We've got eight team members in the office right now. We've got five CPAs, and then we've got a couple bookkeepers, and then we've got an office manager in the office.
Sounds like a good complement of people. You've been in business for a long time. I think you said about 30 years or so.
We have.
And what's your mission at the firm?
Our mission is to serve the total financial picture of our clients while enriching the lives of our staff and community through supporting and participating in civic and community activities. We seek to accomplish this by going beyond the numbers by providing business coaching and traditional services through and establishing personal relationships with each client and being proactive and not reactive. And so we kind of developed that mission statement, and we kind of looked at all the aspects of our firm and what we really truly wanted to get down to in providing the different services to our client base. But it's really wrapped into those civic and community activities because we feel that it's very important to be involved in our community through different aspects. And through that, we feel like we can best service our clients by being involved through those community activities. But, you know, one thing that we really like to focus on is we want to be proactive and not reactive. So we want to try to be ahead of the curve mm-hmm. and not trying to react to the curve.
Yep. Well, a lot for us to a lot for us to talk about. And I do want to come back to two particular aspects of your mission okay. there, the one relating to your people and the one relating to your community okay. involvement. But let's talk for a little bit about the types of clients that you and your team serve. So you mentioned individuals and businesses. Can you tell us a little bit about the size of businesses that you typically have as clients and maybe just give a couple examples of particular challenges that you've helped them through without, you know, obviously without getting any into any proprietary
right.
information.
Right, right. Well, I would say, I mean, the clients that we really focus on are our business clients. We just feel like that the business community and our business clients really fit more into our mold. Now, we do have quite a few clients that are just individual clients that really don't necessarily have a business relation. You know, they don't have a small business or anything like that, which is fine. But our focus is really on the business community. And we feel like by focusing on the business community and our business clients, we can really expand the services that we offer to that particular client base. We have a mixture of small, medium, large size clients. I would say the largest majority of our business client base is small to medium sized businesses. We've got a few large clients, as far as, you know, with different states and, you know, larger number of shareholders, larger revenue base, but the majority is the small to medium sized clients. You know, one member or one owner firms, two owner companies. And through that, which I really like working with that size client base because, you know, one thing that we like to focus on is the personal relationships that we develop with our clients. Sure. And we just feel like the closer that we know our clients and the more personal we can get with them, the better that we can tailor our services to meet what they're looking for and the needs that they have.
Is there a particular industry or particular vertical or a few particular industries that you focus on, or is it pretty much across the board in terms of entrepreneurial businesses in general?
Yeah, we've got a variety of different industries that we work with. I would say service-based industry.
Okay.
And it can be medical field, it can be just professional services is probably a big part of our client base. We do a lot with real estate, going from construction to development to real estate agents. We have people in the retail industry. You know, so it's kind of a wide client base, but I think our focus is really kind of on that service-based. And I would even throw in the real estate mm-hmm. side of it, you know, in that, you know, kind of fits up that majority of our client base with that.
Sure it does. Well, so let's go back and talk a little bit about your involvement in the community.
Okay.
So what sort of things are you and the firm doing in the community.
Okay. Well, we really encourage our team members to be involved in different aspects of the community. Like for me, personally, I'm very involved in my church. And mm-hmm. so I do a lot with different things at my church, from, you know, served on the finance committee at some point. I teach Sunday school. I'm involved in different programs that we have at our at my church. And in my life, I feel like that's very important. But we also encourage our team members to be involved in civic organizations, you know, Lions Club, Kiwanis, you know, those kind of organizations. We're very involved with the chamber, doing things through with the Wake Forest Chamber, even Franklin County Chamber, Roseville Chamber, trying to serve on different committees, being a chamber ambassador or doing, I can't remember what they call it, but anyway, but learning more about the community, and then just trying to encourage our team members to take part in different organizations, not, be on boards of not-for-profit organizations, and just trying to fit into as much of serving the community as we possibly can.
So you do a lot of giving back.
We do. We do.
Which is great.
Yeah, and we do that, I think, through just our time, mm-hmm. as well as through the financial resources that we'll utilize.
Well, it sounds like you've been growing the number of clients that you've had over the years. I'm sure the firm is much different today than it was when the founding partner started the firm 30-odd years ago. How do you typically get new clients?
I would say a majority of our new clients come from referrals, whether it's you know, from our existing client base, whether it's from attorneys, financial planners, but I would say a vast majority of it comes from referrals. We don't do a lot of outside advertising, you know, yellow pages, newspaper, those kinds of things. If we do outside advertising, it's normally through events that other organizations have. We may sponsor a billboard at the high school.
Okay.
Where it's going to benefit the booster club and it's going to benefit their athletic program. We may sponsor something through, like Wake Forest Fire Department has a fish fry every year. Well, we may do a sponsorship in their advertisement that goes out for this fish fry because it's going to benefit the Wake Forest Fire Department.
Sure.
And so we really look at any outside advertising we do that we're trying to benefit other organizations within the Wake Forest or surrounding communities, but at the same time, we are getting our name out there.
Do you find that the process of getting new clients today is different than it was when you first got into public accounting?
I think so. You know, I think it used to be that, you know, you put an ad in the yellow pages and you waited for people to call. You know, but that was a long time ago. And I think now you really just have to be more proactive in building that referral base, making sure that you're providing the best possible service you can to your existing client base so that they feel comfortable going out there and referring you to other people. But I think really involvement in the community is the most important part because people really see that you're wanting to benefit the community through what you're doing.
And I think Wake Forest is still, even though it's growing and growing and growing and expanding, it's still a real community.
Oh, absolutely.
Isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. And Wake Forest, we have really enjoyed being here in Wake Forest. Howard established our firm over 20 years ago here in Wake Forest. You know, I've been in Wake Forest for a long time. And it's just, we've seen it grow from a small community to where it is now. And Wake Forest has just so much potential to offer, not just from the business community, but just to any family that comes here. And we just really see being in the Wake Forest community just a great benefit to anybody.
Yeah, I've been here just 6 or 7 years, yeah. And just in that period of time, you know, downtown has sort of, had a reawakening, and now we have the Cultural Arts mm-hmm. Center down there, and mm-hmm. you know, all sorts of great things are happening. Well, it sounds like you really enjoy what you're doing.
I do.
What is the most fulfilling part of being a CPA?
To me, it's really the personal relationships that we develop with our clients. We feel like through developing a close personal relationship with our clients, whether it's a business client or an individual client, we're really able to tailor our services to our clients' needs. A lot of people get focused on, taxes and how can I save on taxes and, this and that. But I feel like that's just one aspect of it. You mm-hmm. know, you're really looking at the whole overall picture for that particular business client or that particular individual. And we really want to look at, well, what can we do and what services can we provide that's really going to help that client set themselves up to better prosper in their business, to have a better life at home, have a better life at retirement or whatever there. But all that's going to come from that personal relationship that we develop with them. So too often I have clients and they'll call me up and the first thing they'll say is, well, this is really probably an easy question. Or even sometimes they'll say, well, this is a dumb question. I know this is a dumb question, but, and they'll go ahead and ask their question. And my comment back to them is, well, to me, there's never a dumb question. If you picked up the phone and thought enough of it to ask me, there's never a dumb question. Now, it may be a simple question. It may be an easy question to answer.
Sure.
But, I want to be there to answer those easy questions, or maybe just to give a client a confirmation of what they're already thinking, just because they see me as a trusted advisor.
Absolutely. Well, Ryan, we have two other entrepreneurs here in yes. the studio with us this morning. In very different businesses, by the way. But I was just wondering, we're starting, most of us are starting to look towards the end of the year. Mm-hmm. The retail stores are reminding us that the holiday season is just around the corner.
Right.
You have an idea or a suggestion that these gentlemen might want to, and our listeners might want to keep in mind as they approach the end of the year? Is there something new that's happening or something that you just think, would be a good idea for them to keep in mind?
My biggest thing would be that I like to encourage people, and I try to do this with my clients, whether individual, whether businesses or whatever, but meet with your CPA or your tax professional before the end of the year. It is very difficult to come up to February or March or even April and tax plan. You're being reactive instead of being proactive.
Retroactive. Planning, right?
Yeah. And so really. I like to meet with my clients. I've got some clients that I meet with throughout the year, and we kind of tax plan, and it's not necessarily limited to tax planning, but business plan and things like that throughout the year. But I think most of all, at least sometime October, November, don't wait till December 31st to call your tax professional and say, hey, what do I need to do? October, November, take a look at where you're at. What are some things that make sense that you can do before the end of the year?
Sure.
Sometimes I have clients that they get so focused on saving a tax dollar that they want to go spend money in places that it really doesn't make sense to spend money. So I look at what makes sense from an overall perspective. And if we can save some taxes, great. But I don't want a client spending money just to save taxes when it's really not going to benefit them at some point in time.
Absolutely. Well, Ryan, if one of our listeners wants to get in touch with you to talk more about how Mitchell and Nemitz can help them, how do they do that?
They can give us a call. Our main number is 919-556-9500. They can also reach us on our website, which is www.mitchellnimitzcpa.com. There's a lot of information, different resources. We have newsletters on there that update them on different things throughout the year. We also have a Facebook page that they can find us on Facebook, like us on Facebook. I don't do a whole lot of Twitter or anything like that yet. We are kind of getting into that aspect, but we don't do a whole lot of that yet. But either one of those ways, they can definitely contact us through that.
And Reed is going to help you a little bit with that Twitter business.
Yes.
Because he's tweeting during the show.
Okay.
Here today.
Okay.
So, he'll give you a little jump start there.
Okay.
Before I go to Jeff, I want to just jump back, Raiden a minute. You know, this whole idea of getting together before the end of the year, that must resonate with you, right?
Well, for us, I mean, I think that's an important thing from a tax perspective. For us, though, it's throughout the year. It's not so much a tax planning issue for us. We normally meet with our clients on a quarterly or semi-annual basis, just to update. And one thing we do, too, by the way, from an informational standpoint, is we do a monthly conference call that we invite all of our clients or people that may be even interested in us to come on, and we talk a little bit about what we're doing, what we see going on in the market. So that way they've got a real good feel for what's happening with their money, what if they were going to ever work with us, how we are dealing with that. So that keeps them very, very well informed.
That's great. Well, Jeff, you've been very patient, and I hope maybe you picked up a few tidbits along the way here.
Yeah, lots of tips. It's been great.
I saw you jotting down some notes.
That's
over
right.
There.
Absolutely.
I don't know if that was tips that you were picking up or your shopping list, but I saw you writing down some stuff. So we're really glad to have you here, and we're looking forward to learning all about Three Ships Media. So why don't you start just by telling us a little bit about Three Ships Media. How'd you come up with that name? What was the driving force behind you and your team starting the company?
Sure. So first off, we've actually evolved as a company in the 5 years since we've been around. As we launched, we were Three Ships Media. We were all about different media channels. And as we have really focused our business around where we know we can make the biggest impact, we realized that even having the word media had a stigma around it with a lot of our clients. So we've actually just rebranded ourselves as Three Ships. So it seems like a small change, but it's a big message to our clients and to our potential clients that we really are all inclusive around everything digital for their business. So while media has diversified and media has moved into many different places, we have stayed really focused on the digital channels of marketing. So Three Ships is a digital marketing agency based in downtown Raleigh that is obsessed with helping our clients through the customer acquisition process. So I tell folks all the time, we're probably not going to be the agency that launches the next great viral video with Jean-Claude Van Damme starring in it and is going to be on the Today Show and get 50 million hits. And frankly, our clients aren't looking for that. What our clients are looking for is 50,000 hits by high intent potential customers, folks that are really looking to do business and grow revenue. So while likes and shares are great and it really helps with a lot of tangential pieces, what we really care about is generating leads for our clients and converting those leads, making it really easy for that lead to put their hand up and say, I want to become a customer through those digital channels. So that's Three Ships in a nutshell.
Well, let's talk about a little bit more about your clients. So how has your client's customer changed over the years?
It's a great question, because this is really fundamentally, we've seen a lot of shift and we've seen it happen very rapidly. Frankly, you guys have all probably seen the same thing in your businesses, and you've probably seen it in your own personal life. We are now in control of that as a customer or a potential customer for any business that we might want as a service. We're now in control of that moment of interest. It used to be years ago, we were taught to wait until we had something that spurred our interest, billboard, right, advertisement, big problem, I go to the Yellow Pages and look it up. For Raiden or Ryan's business, 20 years ago, it would have been, where's my placement and how big is my ad in the Yellow Pages? Yep. Just the other day, I was getting ready to smoke a salmon. And part of that brining process is you got to put weight on that salmon for 20, 24 hours. And I told my 11-year-old to go grab the Yellow Pages. And he looked at me and he's like, what are the Yellow Pages? I have no clue what that is. And so it made me realize how dated I am, and frankly, how useless that, you know, type of media has become. So what has shifted with customers is they now control that moment. And they control it because they've got Google in their pocket. So the moment that they have a pain point, the moment that they have an interest in something, they're Googling and they're looking for who shows up. Mm-hmm. And we've been taught by Google that whoever shows up near the top of that list is more credible, more authoritative, and has more relevance around what it is that I'm searching for. So the customer's in control of that inquiry process. Ryan has probably had clients that have come in and they've probably already vetted three or four other firms long before they've even picked the phone up and given Ryan a phone call. Yep. So we're seeing that across the board. The customer's in control. So with that, our clients need to figure out how to look and be as authoritative and as relevant as they can at that point of search, at that point that their customer is searching for a solution.
So that's one of the services I assume that you provide, is to get them up to the up at or near the top of that search list.
It is. So it's, you know, how there's a lot of technical pieces to help make web channels move up in relevancy and search. We call that our organic search, that natural search listing, where Google's running their algorithm and deciding. And there's really good qualitative ways to make that move and help our clients through that process. And then there's other channels of digital media that we help them through.
So let's talk a little bit about what the fundamentals to building a digital marketing strategy really are. Can you just share those with our listeners?
Sure. So I firmly believe that the foundation is understanding how your best customer searches. If you can understand what it is that they're looking for in the digital space and how they think through that process, you're going to have a much higher rate of success, and we're going to be able to build a plan that hits the right channels at the right time on the right words. So I'll take Ryan's business as an example because he just did such a great job of walking us through it. If he really understands what that two-man law firm is searching for, if he really understands what's the terminology that they're looking for when they're looking for a new CPA partner, and he can find a firm, you know, like Three Ships that can help them, help him even expand it further than what he might be thinking. There's a lot of tools where we can really find what are people really searching for. Because sometimes owners have their own vocabulary, but that's not how their customer thinks. Their customer thinks in different terms. It might not be financial planning. It might be, you know, I need tax help. That might be actually getting the most search traffic at a certain time. So we walk our clients through building that foundation of keyword strategy. That's the bedrock of everything that you do from there in digital. So many people have run off because social media became, hey, you got to do it. A lot of people didn't even understand why they were doing it. They just started doing it, which is great. There's nothing wrong with jumping in with 2 feet. But if you don't know what you're building content for and it's not relevant to the things that people are searching for the most, then you're doing a lot of effort on things that people might not actually be interested in. So we start with that as the bedrock in all of our engagements with our clients.
Hmm. I've had a few of those experiences where I know what I'm looking for, but Google doesn't seem to understand what I'm looking for.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, Raiden, I suppose that, you know, a lot of people might look for a financial planner, but what they're really looking for is risk management.
I think so. I think in my business, one of the big things is that once they hear about you, they're going and searching your name.
Yeah.
So they, you know, they already know about you. They've heard about you, or they were referred to you, and before they ever come into you, they've gone and done all kinds of research on you. So if you don't come up like you're talking about pretty high there, it's an issue.
Yeah, absolutely. And you'd be surprised how many of our clients or people that we've met with that they're not even showing up on their branded names very well, especially in the services industry. Hmm. You know, the consumer industry, it's a lot easier to make sure that your brand is out there. But
right.
in the services industry, where we really spend a lot of our time and probably makes up 70% of our business, that branded search is critical. And then how do you route that traffic? So it's great that they heard about you. And both of you, Raiden and Ryan, were talking about great event marketing that you're doing. You're, you know, really trying to do what I call experiential marketing, getting as close to the customer's life as you possibly can, which is just awesome because that gets your brand awareness, that gets your name out there. But Raiden, you're exactly right. They're gonna hear about you at a, you know, from a referral. They're gonna hear about you at a party. The next thing they're gonna do, if not right on their phone, is go home, get on their laptop, mm-hmm. and search for you, and they're gonna see how credible you are. Then they're going to want to go look at your website.
Yep.
And your website's got to look professional, clean. And that's kind of table stakes. Where we like to take our clients is that whole next level, which is how do we make it really easy then for that prospect or that traffic that you just spent all that effort to get to your website to now give you information to become a lead, become something that you can then track and have as for either your sales team for some of our clients or for inquiry inbound efforts to help drive that to making a relationship and a final customer for you guys.
You talk about how the world changes, right? So, you know, during the internet bubble, it was all about eyeballs, right?
Mm.
And of course, lots of internet companies found out that you could have lots of eyeballs and that didn't translate into revenue. So you're helping them get well beyond the eyeballs and get down to the point where they're actually interested in becoming a prospective client and making it easy for them, right?
You're exactly right. We just brought onboarded a new client, and their firm before us was driving lots and lots of traffic, which, you know, on a spreadsheet looked great, and their CEO was putting big thumbs up. Wow, look at this big spike in traffic. Their VP of sales was ready to kill that firm because they were driving so much traffic that was junk. So then this inbound sales team of three people are having to vet and follow up on all of these inquiries that were just absolute junk. Mm. So getting traffic is not always the solution. It's getting the right traffic.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so we call it high intent traffic. Traffic that has searched for something that with within a certain level of reason, we know if they're searching for that, that they have a real keen interest or they've got a real keen pain point. So financial planner might not be the best term to really go and try to forge and be the number one against. It might be financial planner in Wake Forest, North Carolina, that specializes in tax law.
Mm.
That's a longer query. That's a longer search, but saying, hey, I've got real high intent on it. And we're seeing more and more of those long, what we call long tail searches or lots of word searches. And simply it's because Google's taught us to talk to it and ask questions, just like I would ask you if you and I were, you know, sitting across from each other at a ball game, you know. So people are literally... and now we can talk into our phones, so we can talk to Google. So we hit the button and say, hey, Google, you know, who's the best financial planner in Wake Forest for tax season? You know, you would have never probably sat down 4 years ago and typed all that in.
No.
Right. Well, you've mentioned Google lots of times. Ryan mentioned Facebook. We've talked a little bit about Twitter. What about some of the other social media sites? Are they as important as they would like us to believe they are?
Yeah, you know, they're critical for two things. One is there is search equity. There is search value in putting good quality content through those channels and getting people to interact and share that content. So I am all for... and we drive our clients to put out robust content marketing plans into those channels. Depending on your business type, you know, Facebook might be very appropriate for Ryan's business. For, you know, and for some of our residential banking clients, it's a perfect avenue. We have clients that, you know, serve industrial work, or they work around chemical research. Them having a strong Facebook presence probably isn't as important as Facebook would like them to think it is. But them playing on LinkedIn, them having a robust Twitter account talking about white papers and talking about their technology, absolutely, it becomes a need. So for good search equity, getting good content flowing, I think it's great. I think it's also great for that customer nurturing environment. So you've acquired a customer, you've gotten them somewhat interested. They're now following you. They're going to continue. They might not be ready to sign up. They might not be ready to become a customer. They might be still trying to decide if Raiden's firm is the right one for them. But as Raiden has done through writing books and talking and speaking, doing that same type of activity inside of social keeps nurturing and reinforcing the message to that potential client and helps eventually drive them to wanting to become a customer.
It's really a strategy, isn't it?
And it's having the comprehensive strategy where we have seen clients of ours come in, and where they have failed in the past is they have tried for that silver bullet. They have tried for that one thing that was going to drive a lot of leads to their business. And there are certain levers that just have to work together, but it all comes back to having a real fundamental understanding of how your greatest customer is looking for you. And if you know that, then knowing what the right lever is starts to make good sense.
So Three Ships has grown pretty substantially over the past 5 years. Can you talk a little bit about how you've gained most of your clients and what you attribute that growth to?
You know, we try to drink our own champagne, so we try to do all the things we tell our clients to do. But, you know, much like the cobbler, we probably don't do as good a job as we do for our clients. But with that said, we do believe in the discipline of digital marketing to help us acquire. So we have, if people come to our website, they can fill out a very quick form and fill in some of their competitors. And then we actually turn around an analysis of where they are digitally up against their competitors. It's a great tool for customers to be able to get a gauge. Is digital marketing something that I'm doing well? Is it something I'm doing at all? And where are my competitors in this space? So that's really helped us gain what I'd call a qualified a lead that's put their hand up and said, hey, I've got a pain point and I need to have a discussion around it. We've done very similar things to Raiden and Ryan as well. I mean, networking is still key in our business, and I spend a lot of my time making sure that people understand who Three Ships is and what we can do for them. We do a lot of partnership marketing. So we don't design robust, big websites in-house. We do smaller, more nimble websites. But if someone needs a very comprehensive, complex architecture, we've got partners who do that work, and we vetted them. We feel supremely confident in having our clients work with them, and vice versa. When they need search engine optimization, when they need a digital marketing or paid media strategy, they bring their clients to us. So having that partnership, very similar to what Raiden has built, where we're quarterbacking it, but where we know the right people to bring in, has been critical to our success. The last thing I'd say about growth is we have become very, very focused around who our right customer is. Mm-hmm. So actually saying no to a few folks down the road has helped us grow because we've had great discipline around that. We've learned over time, this is the type of client that we serve best when they have this issue, or they make up this profile, or we can do these things for them. And trying to stay inside of our wheelhouse with great discipline and stay inside the verticals that we've had great success with. So a different strategy than, frankly, most agencies. Most agencies, it's all about whatever revenue they can get in the door, and then we'll staff around it. We've taken a different approach. We've staffed the best people we possibly can, and we have a high bar about joining our team. And then with that, we've been very disciplined about the type of clients we bring in. Hmm.
Well, so if somebody wants to get in touch with Three Ships and talk to you, Jeff, how do they do that?
Sure. So the best way is to call me direct. So that number is 919-404-9048. Once again, 919-404-9048. They can go to our website, which is three, spelled out with a hyphen, ships.com. So welcome you to come to the website and look at us, and we're on all social media, so just search for us on any channel appropriately. We'd enjoy to have a conversation.
Great. You know, one of the seems like there's always a theme that develops on these shows, and I think the winning theme today might be partnering. You know, you talked about sort of being the one-stop shop. You talked about, you know, making it easy for folks, Raiden, and having everything there, or all the resources that they need. You've just talked about, you know, having additional resources, not trying to be all things for all people. Any comments or thoughts about how that works and why it works?
I mean, for us, it works really good because we're to try to be all things, you're not going to be really good at any one thing. So having the right people in place for the different aspects a person would need, make sure that everybody gets the very best of every aspect of planning in our world. So we don't want to be all things. We couldn't do a good job of it.
Yeah, I'd say for us, the learning's been to make sure that our business partners have the same values around that client and how they value that client, and making sure that we have a rule. The word vendor is never used in our world. So we don't have vendors that we work with, and we surely don't hand off vendors to our clients. So if they don't believe in that partnership level and real commitment level, then it's probably not a good fit. So my best advice is to make sure that culturally you find the right fits.
Well, and I think you know, all of us have strengths and weaknesses in our business. And I think, you know, for us, we want to concentrate on what our strengths are. And that's how we as our firm are going to best provide those kinds of services to our clients. But knowing that our clients also have some of those needs and for additional services beyond what our strengths are, and that we can have relationships with other, whether it's attorneys or financial planners or digital services or those kinds of things that we can then refer our clients to, but encompass through the whole aspect of providing the best possible service to our client, regardless of who is actually providing that service. And I think all that's encompassed with those relationships. Sure.
Sounds like all of you do a great job of you know, sort of being the quarterback for your clients, which I think is really important. So, well, this has been a really interesting show. We're just about out of time here. I think it's interesting. If we kind of look at this, Jeff, you know, we talk about you helping business people get clients, which helps them make money, right? And then we talked to Ryan about what to do with that money, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of at least protecting a little bit of it from the tax man, right?
Right.
And then we talked to Raiden about what to do with what's left, and to put a little bit away, or maybe put a lot away, and get ready to enjoy the retirement year. So it sounds to me like in, you know, 57 minutes here, we pretty much covered the ballpark.
Good.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for a great show.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
You're very welcome. This has been a really interesting show. We've been broadcasting live from our studios here at the Wireless Research Center of North Carolina, one of our power partners. We'd also like to thank our other power partners, the North Carolina Technology Association and Entredot, for helping spread the word about what businesses are doing here in the Metro Raleigh area. We will bring you another exciting and informative show next week on Metro Raleigh Business Radio Access Carolina Connections. So for now, this is Cal Hackman signing off.